I'm Lisa Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health. I hate my thighs. Why did I eat those cookies? My butt's too big. Hey, gals, does this sound all too familiar? According to our next guest, Bethany Frankel, creator of the Skinny Girl Margarita, author of the New York Times bestselling Naturally Thin, Unleash Your Skinny Girl and Free Yourself from a Lifetime of Dieting, and star of Bravo's hit show, The Real Housewives of New York City, says it's time to turn off your food noise and tune into your food voice. With 10 simple rules, Bethany teaches us to stop measuring and counting calories, and most of all, to participate in your life. Just remember, manja poco ma bene. Bethany, welcome to the show. It is so wonderful to have you here.
Thank you.
I learned the phrase manja. I'm sure I'm totally messing it up, but manja poco ma bene from your wonderful book, Naturally Thin. What does it mean and why is it so important?
I mean, what it means is to eat, you know, it's about eating well rather than eating a lot. Like the whole, in the book, it means quality versus quantity. I think that the Europeans have it right in that they eat what they really want. They don't, there's no fast free. They don't really have a lot of noise about food. They're able to eat something that we consider fattening and walk away from it. And they're just about more quality indulgences rather than a bunch of junk. Like, we'll have fat-free cookies and a tall non-fat latte and frozen yogurt and all this sort of fake food. And everything there is real.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm definitely big into real food. Now, my listeners recognize you from The Real Housewives of New York City on Bravo. And I just love Bravo. And now you've written this awesome book, Naturally Thin. And one of the many things I loved about your book is your candor. Can you share with us some of your early experiences and how you think they may have contributed to your interest in healthy living, your creating Bethany Bakes, and the writing of Naturally Thin?
I grew up in a very, very toxic environment with eating disorders and alcoholism and smoking and nothing that is natural, nothing that's healthy. And basically, I think that, I guess that a lot of my life now is, I don't know if it's a rebellion, but it's definitely going the opposite direction of that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not in any sort of extreme way. I don't believe in diets because I think the diets are very cookie cutter and they deprive people and they make people have a worse relationship with food, if that's even possible, because we have the worst relationship with food as Americans. We have been on the Scarsdale diet, the Atkins diet, the South Beach diet, every diet. You pick up a book and then you get mad at the book when it doesn't work because the book was in control. Some chart in some book told you what you were supposed to be eating on some random Tuesday rather than you working with your own life. And that's what Naturally Thin is about. It kind of hit me about 5 years ago that I was imprisoned by food noise and by constantly being on a diet, constantly knowing the tally of what I'd eaten and work and exercise. And I just hit the wall and found a way to be thin forever without ever dieting again and without missing out and without fearing food.
Now tell us about the food noise versus the food voice.
Food noise is that internal chatter that people have that says, I was bad because I ate that. I was good because I didn't eat last night. You were not good or you were not bad. Food is not your best friend or your enemy. It's that voice that says, oh, my God, I'm panicked. I have a date tonight, and I just ate something. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving. It's a wedding. What am I going to do? It's just that internal chatter that people beat themselves up about not exercising or just everything. We're very, very tough on ourselves, and that's
yes.
What food noise is. And a food voice is a dialogue inside your an internal dialogue that basically navigates you through life. It's more like, okay, I had that, and my diet's a bank account, so what do I do next? It's more of a normal negotiation, a normal conversation, so you can just go through life without having to be hysterical, without binging, without going off the rails.
Yeah, exactly. Now, your diet is a bank account. I really relate to that because I love to shop, and I actually saw you on Good Morning America talking about eBay, and I love eBay. I don't know how to sell yet, which I need to learn. I just seem to know how to shop. But anyway, when you talked about the bank account analogy, it just made sense. I'm not going to look on eBay and spend money on something that I wouldn't wear. Just like I don't want to eat a bunch of calories.
You might once in a while you might, and that's because that was a bad investment. And
oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, that's true.
You might make a bet. I mean, I've bought things on eBay that have come and they haven't been what I thought they were.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Or I've gone into a store and bought something impractical. But the point is, if you buy a turquoise pony jacket, then the next thing you buy is a black cashmere sweater or a white T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why anyone would buy a turquoise pony jacket, but we've definitely eaten things that we feel like, why the hell did I eat that? So the next time you reel it in, and it's just like shopping and the economy, because you don't take your bank book everywhere you go to make a decision what to buy. You just intellectually know wait, that's a little expensive, and that's pushing it a little bit, so now I can't have this. And it should be the same thing with food. It shouldn't be counting and points and calories, because that is obsessive, and that leads to more food noise.
Exactly. And the little scales and the whole thing, it's just, you know, it really is just a pain in the butt. Now,
it's not normal. It's not normal to live that way.
No, and again, it makes you more obsessed. I used to be a healthy lifestyle coach. I've been in the, you know, health field for 20 years, and I go into people's homes, and I would try to move them from a processed diet to a whole foods diet, and it's just so important. And then you don't have to be counting as much because you're eating real food. And you talk about that with the binging. You talk about fake foods and how that actually enhances that. Can you tell us more about that?
Well, I think the fake foods leave you longing for what you really originally wanted. I think that people want a piece of chocolate cake, and so they'll go eat 45 fat-free cookies, and they never get there. And you should have just had a couple of bites of a real piece of cake or of gelato. And the only rule that you can't break on the book, because rules are made to be broken, life, you know, we plan and God laughs, but the only rule in the book that you can't break is the binging one, and that's to check yourself before you wreck yourself, mm-hmm. because nobody has ever been hungry enough to eat what we would eat on a binge. It doesn't mean you can't have pizza or cookies. It means that you can't go to that place where you say, oh, my God, I'm having anxiety because I ordered a cheeseburger because I'm PMS and I had the cheeseburger. Now I have to have french fries. Now I have to have cookies. Now I have to beat myself up and punish myself, and tomorrow I'll be good. That has nothing to do with hunger. That's completely emotional. And food is not emotional. Food's food.
Now, how did you get over your issues with that? Because you're honest about that, and you talk about that.
I know, and it's funny because one of the people asked me at my book signing, you know, why did you come out with this? Because it's usually a secretive process. It's true, because my whole entire life I was on a diet, and it was like sort of like a secret. Just, you don't want people to know, or men to know that you're dating, or anyone to know how crazy you are, like how much you're obsessing and how you know what you ate all day and how you're, you know, panicked about eating and facing food. And I was going on a trip to Italy, and Mario Batali had told a friend of mine some restaurants that he gave me, and I said, I'm a chef, I'm eating, I'm not eating the vegetables the whole time, I'm gonna eat. And I just decided to trust it, and little by little, because I remembered being on other trips where it had been fine. If I'd been walking a lot and had some what I called fattening food, I had lived through it. It had always been the times where I ate all the vegetables, and the last day I gorged on paella or binged, that I came back like a swollen mess. And so I just said, like, I just figured out that, like, how bad could eating one small croissant be, rather than having a big giant bowl of oatmeal and torturing some Italian waiter for equal and skim milk. It's like, how, just if you think about it, how bad could a drop of cream be? Like, we're tortured by Diet Coke and skim milk. It's like, really? How about, you know, it's 150 calories for a small gelato. Why don't I just have some of that and not eat the whole thing?
Exactly.
And I just started to trust slowly, and it worked. I came back. My genes were exactly the same, and it inspired me to write the book. I never was an author. I never thought about this. I just said, I have to. This is the big golden key that unlocks the big golden lock, and I need to tell everybody. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. People are losing. Like, now it's been 17 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list, and there have been people who have lost 60 pounds, 70 pounds. I mean, it's getting into serious weight now.
Oh, that is incredible. Now, you do have a rule. You can have it all, just not all at once. And I think that is so important and also hard to do, you know, because I'm the type of person where when I do say, okay, well, I'm going to have that cake, if I try to, I'll try to just take a few bites like you recommend, but I just, especially if I'm sad or something, I want to keep going. So it's how do you get people
right.
to, you know, kind of take a few bites and then sort of pull yourself in, you know?
Well, you don't always, everything doesn't always work. I mean, everything doesn't work right away. It has mm-hmm. to be a level of trust. The book is like a toolbox. And somebody, one person might not need the hammer and one person might need the screwdriver. It's a toolbox. So to answer that question, I talk about the point of diminishing returns. Mm-hmm. And basically, you know, if you order an order of fried calamari or the chocolate cake, the first bite is amazing. The second bite's great. The third bite's good. And then all of a sudden, by the fifth bite, it's not as good as the first bite. And it's never going to get, you're chasing this high, and it will never get as good as that first bite. And so if you intellectually understand that and you're aware of it, you're like, you know what? It's kind of not as great as it was. Yeah. And I will see another piece of chocolate cake again. And if you know that you're allowed to have chocolate cake and you're not eating it out of anxiety because you're so panicked that you actually had some, there's no sense of urgency to finish it all then. You know there's going to be another chocolate cake. Mm-hmm. I mean, even at the best restaurants in the world with the best meals I've ever had, eating the whole thing isn't going to make it any better.
Yeah, no, that's a really, you know, that's a good point. And I think also, you know, I'm almost 42. I haven't had fast food since I was 15. Hadn't had a donut, the whole thing. I was traveling for a job and I was in North Carolina, and there were some Krispy Kremes, and I called my husband. I'm like, oh my God, they just smell really good. Everyone's talking about, should I try one? He's like, would you just get off it and have a donut? What is the big deal? I said, I know, but
right.
I don't want to break. It was more just this whole thing of this pride of like, well, I haven't had fast food in so many years, la, 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 you know? And he's like, just get over it, you know? And I ate it.
I agree with your husband.
Yeah, I know. It's oh, choice. I'm a lot more balanced, trust me. But it was just funny to be like, it was, I put so much importance on this stupid donut, you know? And then I took one bite and actually I didn't really like it. Because
right.
it was too sweet.
I know
sweet,
what you mean.
But,
like,
I
used to be raw, and I used to be vegan, and I used to be on every fast
yeah.
and everything. And I have a friend who used to be like, you know, I haven't eaten white flour in 8 months. So, it like, really, you know, people like to get people are very noisy about it and like
yes.
to talk about, you know, how holier than now they are because they haven't had white flour or anything. It's like, your husband's right. The
yeah.
healthiest people, ironically, Paris Hilton can eat a half cheeseburger and a couple of french fries and walk away. And that's healthier attitude than someone who's been raw for 2 years and is obsessed about it. And like, mm-hmm. you know, it's just like, let it go a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. No,
but everybody.
No, me and everybody. The other
yeah.
thing too is when you talk about downsizing. Now, because I'm a you know whole foods eater. I don't eat any fake foods or anything. You know, I tend to have. Well, actually, since reading your book, I'm not having as many. But I tend to be like, oh, it's whole grain pasta. I can have another portion. It's healthy. I didn't eat any junk. You know. But then all of a sudden, you know, 3 portions of whole grain pasta. That's a lot of calories. You know. So
downsizing is
tough. You know.
No, totally. I think. Truth be told, the problem is when I used to be obsessed with health, it would be brown rice and vegetables and tofu and everything, but I eat a ton more of it, and I feel like you get more bloated and you do
yeah.
gain more weight than if you just have a little bit of everything that you really like. I definitely feel like that. I used to eat way more healthy in an obsessive way and way more quantity. Now it's like, you know, I went out last night, I had a couple glasses of wine, I had a salad with cheese in it, I had, I had some, this mayonnaise-y, like, crab beginner, but I shared it with somebody. I feel like if it was a big giant salad with no dressing and if it was a grilled chicken breast, you'd eat the whole entire thing and you still wouldn't be satisfied. I'd rather have a little bit of something decadent.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I like butter. If I'm going to
yeah.
have, you know, even just a little, like you talk about that, just like, you know, a little piece of bread with some real butter, you know, or
right.
olive oil or something.
It makes you feel like you're allowed. You can participate. You don't have anxiety about it. I was terrified of the bread basket my whole life. It was like the devil in the middle of the table. And now I'll have a piece of bread, and I'll have, not the whole thing, I'll eat a rip it off, but you feel like you're one of those skinny people, because you're dipping it in oil, you have yeah. it, and it's done. You did it.
Oh, yeah, and you talked about avocados, too, as being something that you were just like, no way, get them away from me.
Oh, my God,
you know?
The California roll had to take it out, absolutely.
Oh,
terrifying.
My gosh. God, I'd live on guacamole.
Yeah,
but
I love avocado.
Oh my gosh, avocado is so good. Now, another thing that I wanted to mention that I've been doing for years, which is great, is to spoil your appetite. Now, before every party or family holiday, I always eat a can of Amy's lentil soup. And in your book, you actually mention Amy's soups.
Yes,
and it's great because it fills me up and then I don't go there and go crazy, but then I can have some of the heavier things that I like, but not eat so many. And the other thing I always do is I always bring a big salad or something healthy. So if the table is like every single thing is deep fried or something and I feel like, okay, I had a few bites, but I want something else or something, there's a healthy option.
You bring a salad?
Yeah. Or
you're
something.
You're one of those crazy people. I would never tell I'm never telling anyone in my book to bring a salad. Be where you are. You're at a party. There's fried
that's
shrimp.
True.
There's fried whatever. Have a few bites. That's a taste everything, eat nothing rule. That's that rule.
Yeah. My God. Now, oh my. See, I didn't know I was crazy. This is really informative.
Yeah.
I think everybody else knows,
used to be
right?
I'm one of those crazy people. I want to bring my own dressing and panic and had to tell the waiter that I was allergic to things and had to, you know, so I could, like, make sure that I would, you know, not shoot him in the head when he put oil on something. Obsessed. Now I don't think about it. It just is what it is wherever you are. It works at an airport. It works at a. Anyway, wherever you are, you can find the lesser of evils. There's always something.
Wow. God, that's really eye-opening. I thought you'd be like, oh, that's great. You brought a salad. Oh, my goodness.
I'm sorry. Don't get mad at me.
Oh, no. I think it's great. No, that's why I love you. I mean, your candor's fantastic. Okay. Now, another rule is pay attention because a lot of us eat. We're watching TV. We're reading. You know, I'll be working on my show. I read a lot of books, you know, do a lot of research, and I'm no doubt. I go, you know what? I should just go and pay attention to what I'm eating and enjoy it. Because otherwise, you know, you eat so much more because you're not really tuned in.
And you're not into, it's not quality because you're not really enjoying it. It shouldn't be obsessive where you like need to like put on Bach and have, you know, a Japanese place setting with lacquer boxes to eat your food. Just be aware that you're eating. You could be sitting on the couch. I'll sit on the couch and I will have the TV in the background and eat a muffin. But it's not like I'm stressing out on the phone, on the computer, in the car, doing five things where I don't know what's going on. I mean, it doesn't have to be so extreme. It just has to be that you're kind of aware of what you're eating. Otherwise, it goes away and you don't even know what just happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, exactly. That is what happens with me. Now, cancel your membership in the Clean Plate Club is another rule. And, you know, all of our parents have always told us, don't waste food and starving, you know, da-da-da-da-da. So that seems like a challenging one just for people who just are worried that they're going to be wasteful.
Well, this is why everything in the book gives the other side of it. So first of all, everyone's already heard, you know, don't finish everything on your plate. Everyone's heard that already.
Yeah.
But they haven't heard when I say, even if it's a salad or if it's broccoli or if it's grilled chicken, because the point is to be that person that doesn't finish everything on your plate. And that would mean with anything. That means you don't get the large coffee. You don't get the large fat-free yogurt. You don't get the large anything because you want to be one of those people that gets the small because it's just enough. That's like more of a European mentality. And then you motivate people, and it could be only 2 or 3 bites. Just leave something. Or, you know, I like to leave half. It motivates people to be like, look, you could if you leave half of that chicken tomorrow, that's chicken over arugula on a salad. Or if you leave some of the spinach, now you can, even a small amount of that could be in a frittata the next day. So it's economical because you can bring food home and yes, feel like it's going to be, you're going to get to enjoy it 2 days in a row, which is definitely
That's
like, you know what I mean? It's enjoyable, but then you also feel like you're saving money.
Exactly. Well, it's funny because my father-in-law had met a colleague yesterday he hadn't seen in a long time. And he said, oh, we went to this really nice restaurant. And it was great. And then I brought half home and, you know, I'll have it for tomorrow. And I'm thinking, God, he has such good control. And whenever I would eat with my in-laws, like their portions look tiny, but then I realized that they're actually eating and they would eat, you know, healthy foods and richer foods. But I mean, they're doing exactly what your book talks about, where I'd eat over there and I'd be like, okay, I'm still hungry. Like, was that an appetizer? You know?
Well, also that's the other thing. If you share with someone else, like I went out with a girlfriend last night and I shared the appetizer. I go out with my boyfriend and we'll share a fattening crab cake. You're only going to end up having half of it. You cut it in half. And when the plate is empty, that's when you feel like you've finished. It's the problem with our society is that you have a big plate full of food, and if you don't finish it, you feel like you must still be hungry. Your body hasn't even registered whether it's satisfied yet.
Yeah.
But if you see that you've finished what's on the plate, even if it's a smaller plate, a smaller quantity, you feel like you're done.
Okay. Now, you talk a lot about just taking just a few bites, but obviously there are certain foods that you can eat, like a regular size portion, obviously, and that you can, so you don't feel like you're always eating just little bits here and there, or what do you think about
that? No. And also, sometimes you're just hungry.
Yeah.
And you have to know yourself. Sometimes you're just simply hungry, and sometimes I do finish every single thing on my plate. It depends, but I don't, what I'm saying is I don't, look, you know that you have a little more leeway if you're eating brown rice and you're eating grilled vegetables and you're eating a piece of plain grilled fish. You realize that
oh,
you
yeah.
have, and you partially have chosen that because you know that day you're hungry and you kind of want to finish what's on your plate. So that's the tool that you've chosen for that day.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, we're like little engines, and a little bit of fuel throughout the day works it out. I mean, I had a full fat small bran muffin for breakfast yesterday, and for lunch I had some like Manhattan clam chowder soup and some vegetables, and then as a snack, I had some granola because I knew I was going out. And then at dinner, like, I had a little bit all day. So at dinner, I had that crab thing and, like, a chopped salad with provolone cheese and all this and a couple glasses of wine. It's like it all kind of worked out. It's just like being a normal person, eating a little bit throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think there should be that much massive focus on food. It's all going to work out. You're always going to – you're not going to starve. And you usually are not that ravenously hungry that you need to eat some massive portion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Especially, I think, if you do what we talked about earlier, which is spoil your appetite or, you know,
right.
have some, you know, a little couple almonds and some, you know, fruit
and
or something.
And sometimes I don't. I mean, it doesn't have to be that, you know, that the book like the Zone Diet or whatever, where they're like every 4 hours. I mean, I don't want anything to be obsessive.
Yeah,
people
exactly.
just have to get to know their bodies and they know, I'm feeling a little bit hungry. I'm not really hungry right now, but let me think about this. In 3 hours from now, that's when I'm eating dinner. So in an hour when I don't have these almonds, then I'm going to be regretting it.
Yeah.
That's when you take a bite of it. But you don't have to be so. There are nights that I don't spoil my appetite and I go out and I live through it.
No, that's good.
It doesn't have to be so formatted. I just think that's the problem with dieting. It's so shackling and it just tortures people.
Yes. Yeah. No, that's what you know, the other thing about your book is you have some great recipes. And I did make the whole wheat fusilli with the tomatoes and the basil and the smoked mozzarella. That was so good.
Oh, great.
Yeah, that was really good. So I want to thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you.
Okay, next week, be sure to listen because Tara Costa from The Biggest Loser is going to be here. And Norm Russo from Fitness Together is also going to be here talking about starting an exercise program. And I can't wait to have both of them on. And Tara Costa was in the top three of The Biggest Loser. She's an inspiration. She's an amazing woman. So be sure to listen at 9:30 to 10. Having Tara Costa, and from 10 to 10:30, Norm Russo. Everybody have a great week. Keep being healthy. Take care. Bye-bye.